the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, I say to all of you, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Very good. Would anyone like to, who missed it, like to do it? Any more?
Sure. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Well, it's important because this is the first day of the new church year. A time of anticipation, hope, new beginnings, Jesus coming, the world will be reborn. However, we are in a way in flesh, like a book between bookends. Bookends. The colic today describes one bookend, the past coming of Jesus. Quote, in great humility, unquote, to suffer and die for our redemption. And the other bookend is his future coming. Quote, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead. Unquote. Second coming. It's the most basic formulations of our Christian faiths, as they include the expectations of Christ's return. We hear it in Holy Communion. We hear it in Eucharistic Prayer A. We say this morning, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We hear it in the creeds, where Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. We heard it today in the Gospel, quoting, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Once before he died, Jesus told his followers he'd be back soon. Paul's letters, including today's second lesson, showed a belief in this. But after a couple of decades, nothing happened. And the people who had actually known Jesus began to die off. The stories about Jesus began to be told secondhand. That's the reason we have the four Gospels. Someone must have finally said, you know, there aren't all that many eyewitnesses left. We really ought to get this stuff written down. So Mark was first, then Matthew and Luke, about 40 years after Christ was crucified, and John a little later. It was confusing to the people then, as Jesus once said, I'll return soon. And today he told us that only his Father, God, knows the time. Now, over the years, there were many hundreds of wrong guesses about when Jesus would return. From such things as the mathematical readings of the Bible to predictions of self-appointed prophets, as described 2 weeks ago by Marie, based on Luke's version. Now, Matthew in our Gospel today must have been amused by people believing Christ would come back when all of us are awake and ready. Kind of as laughable as a thief making an appointment before visiting you. Instead, Jesus will come back as a thief in the night, perhaps as a wool cap low on his head and socks on his feet, so you don't know he's there until you wake up to the sound of someone breathing over you in your bed. So, what can we do? Existing in a constant state of alert and readiness is not easy. Do you remember as a child the unbearable anticipation on Christmas Eve, wondering what would be under the tree the next morning? Awakening early Christmas morning and being told that you could not go downstairs until your parents checked things out. First, we don't need to panic. After all, our Gospels predict the coming of God's kingdom in all its fullness, and we are expected to show our readiness by the way we live 365 days a year, to be faithful to our responsibilities and active in service to our neighbors, forgiving one another, and living our lives with the peace that characterizes children of our Christian kingdom. So why do we celebrate Advent? One of my sources wrote that Advent is not just about getting ready for Christmas, but it's a separate, intense season of looking and listening for the hope planted in each of us by God. How? Well, another reference I like said Advent reminds us that it is a time to wait and wonder. Why wait and wonder? Unless we are reminded, we find no real reason for celebration, waiting and wondering, or the signs of a patient heart that lives and reflects, and a heart that remains open to God. Yet, waiting and wondering is not much spoken about, not honored among us to have it. Made in today's frantic society means not waiting, not wondering. Making it means that you are too busy to wait. We are too important. Making it means that we are too smart to wonder, too adult. We want it all. Now we find it impossible to wait for anyone and anything, and surprises make us uncomfortable. We avoid experiences of wonder, easy to screen them out. We do become uncomfortable if we stand back and realize that the current arrangements in our lives, that solid structures we have diligently built, might come apart and give way to something totally unexpected. So, as we wait and wonder, we need something solid, something to strengthen faith, prayer and Bible study, of course, but as we will experience in a couple of minutes, we need Holy Communion. As books between bookends of the first coming of Jesus and the anticipated second coming, we need Him to come into our minds and hearts as bread and wine through this sacrament that Jesus entrusted to His church. Austin Farrer, a well-known, respected chaplain at Oxford, gave this counsel of preparation for communion. Quote, "It is hard to prepare for communion because it is hard to face the truth. But it is not all complicated or puzzling. You have merely to accept what you know God demands of you and to renounce what you know He forbids you. And to be sorry, to be sorry. Remember something to thank Him for and something to pray for, and you have made your preparation." As we wait and wonder these next 4 weeks, realizing we have all 365 days in the coming year to follow Jesus, we will be waiting for the celebration of Christmas. Being Christians means to celebrate Jesus coming into our world and our lives in the form of human flesh. May we watchfully read scriptures and pray. May we do this often in the days ahead. May we abandon all our anxiety from trying to take control of our lives, our history, by our wisdom and accomplishments. May we be awakened to joy of finding the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him, our love for one another. These twin loves give us our heavenly light, our safety, and our peace. Amen.